God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series on the book of Jonah. And today we get to what I would say is the beginning part of the climax of the book. Now, I will admit there are many people who, when they think of the prophet Jonah, they think of the large fish. And fair enough, that is sort of a very strange and wonderful event. But the real purpose behind Jonah, at least from my humble opinion, and I also think the way that Scripture testifies and speaks about Jonah, begins really at chapter 4. For today, we're picking up chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. This takes place right after Jonah preaches the word of God to the people of Nineveh. They repent. They turn from the sinful ways. They turn to God. And you would expect rejoicing. Verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. This is our text. Notice Jonah was not jumping up and down and going, wow, look at all those Ninevites. They now believe and trust in you. So we have to ask, what's going on in Jonah? Why is he acting this way? Jesus reminds us that the heavens rejoice over one sinner who repents versus over 99 righteous people who have no other need to repent. So apparently from God's point of view, this was a beautiful victory celebration. The people of Nineveh are repenting. Why then does the prophet of God, the mouthpiece of God, start coming up with anger and frustration? Why does he not see the same picture that God sees? Why does he not have the same love that God loves? Well, that's in one essence really easy to answer. Plain and simple, Jonah's a sinner. I'll never forget, it happened here at Trinity a few years ago, when I was doing the Sunday school opening. And it was a good question. One of our Sunday school teachers asked me, Pastor, because we were talking about sins, and I said, even I sin. Well, what kind of sins do pastors commit? And I'm thinking, okay, now what kind of answer am I going to now say in front of a bunch of kids? The real answer is, the same issues you struggle with are the same issues I struggle with. Plain, simple, to the point. My human flesh is just as weak as your human flesh. Maybe even more so. The reason why is because Satan knows if he can get the pastor or leaders of the church to fall, more people will fall with them. So, of course, Satan is always targeting pastors and the leaders of the church. So my temptations may even be greater. Notice I didn't answer the question. But let me move on with my text. So Jonah here has his sinful flaw. And his sinful flaw is consuming him. Just like he was consumed by the fish because of his sin, he's now being consumed by anger because of his sin. And this isn't healthy. And what is the sin that this prophet is now committing? He doesn't love. He really did not want to see the Ninevites to turn to God and be saved. Basically, he wanted to see the Ninevites go to hell and suffer and be in eternal damnation. God, however, had a different viewpoint. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. It doesn't matter how evil they were in the past. Now, would we have a similar thought? You see, very often our hearts might be more like Jonah than we want to admit. You know, we want to sit there and say, okay, thank you, God. Thank you for forgiving me. Amen. And by the way, thank you for forgiving me, my friends. Amen. And my family. Amen. But what about those people who have done me wrong? Do I want them to be forgiven? What about those people who are really bad people? They've committed terrible crimes. They have evil thoughts. Do I want them to be forgiven also? And in today's world, where tensions really rise up and there are great rivalries, do I want forgiveness for my opponents? Case in point, many of you know I am a Cubs fan. So is there forgiveness for Sox fans? Do I want to see Sox fans in heaven? And the answer is yes, I do. I'm not quite like Jonah in that area. For those of you who are Republicans, do you want to see forgiveness for Democrats or vice versa? Do we really want to see forgiveness for all people? Or in the back of our hearts, do we have just a little bit of that sinful nature that comes up? Maybe that's the best way to describe it. That says, no, let them suffer. Let them get what they deserve. Now, I will admit, if you ever have thoughts like that, fair enough. That is a realistic thought. Let them get what they deserve. By all means, for the sake of one sin, they deserve eternal death and damnation. They don't deserve the grace of God. They don't deserve the gift of God. They don't deserve to be saved, to be loved, or forgiven. If you deny your sin, the truth is not in you. The letter of St. John says, what about you? Too often we are very quick to point the finger and say, oh yeah, let God withhold his mercy and give them justice. But then we have to realize, what about my sin? What about my disobedience? I just got through confessing. I struggle with the same sins you struggle with. The same pride, the same temptations, the same struggles of this physical flesh. And I fall short of God's glory. And when I fall short of God's glory, what do I want? Do I want God's justice? Do I want God to give me what I deserve? That's eternal death and damnation. No. I come to God and say, God, have mercy upon me. I want your mercy. I want you to be slow with anger. I want you to be ever patient with me because I am hard to change. My sinful nature is strong and I have some bad habits I'm still trying to work through. I ask God to be patient with me. And I hope and pray that you say the same thing about yourself. That you also desire God's grace and mercy. And that you want God to be patient and loving for you. But now, here's the problem. The title of this message is A Selfish Belief. Do we really want that love and forgiveness? God being slow to anger and abounding in love? Now, for other people. Regardless of who they are, regardless of what they've done, regardless of what language they speak or what part of the world they come from? Do we want God to show his loving kindness to them as well as he has shown his loving kindness to us? Jonah, as he needed to have that giant wake-up call with the big storm and being swallowed by the large fish, is now being consumed again by his anger. And his anger has got Jonah very much. And so we have to sort of beg the question here. Wasn't it just a couple chapters ago that we had Jonah's beautiful words of, okay, God, thank you for delivering me. Thank you for saving me. I kind of learned my lesson. I'll go to Nineveh. Where is this anger coming from? Did Jonah's heart really change? Now, a few weeks ago, some of you might remember that there was a repentance. At least I said there was a repentance out of Jonah. Now, fair enough. I knew about chapter 4, trust me. It looked like there was a repentance out of Jonah. He went through the motions. He went to Nineveh. He proclaimed what God told him to proclaim. In chapter 4, we see his heart. His heart is filled with anger. He doesn't want God's mercy for others, just himself. Yes, he's of the tribe of the people of God of Abraham. Yes, he's sort of the chosen people. But just because you're of the right tribe and of the chosen people doesn't necessarily mean you have the right heart. What do we sing in our offertory? Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. God can see our emotions. He can see what we do. He can see what we say and hear it. But he also knows our thoughts. You see, you can watch and see what I do. You can see a few sins here and there. But you don't know the sins within my heart. Only God knows. And God is the only one who knows if we truly repent. Fair enough, we all confess our sins at the beginning of the divine service. We all said, yes, we're a poor, miserable sinner. We realize that sin and we come to God for mercy. We say these words with our mouth. But is our heart there? After God bestows his grace, his mercy, he relents of the disaster to Nineveh. Notice where Jonah's heart was at. Filled with anger. Now for the good news, which isn't quite yet here, so to speak. That same patience, that same love that God freely gave to the Ninevites is also given to Jonah. It's also given to you and to me. In the midst of when our hearts get angry, we also need to repent and say, okay, Lord, you're right. I am a sinner. I sometimes have that idea, I want satisfaction and I want justice. And fair enough, our court systems try to put that into place. But to delight in that, on a spiritual realm, not necessarily in laws that govern the nation, but on a spiritual realm to really delight in people going to hell, is opposite of what God wants. But yet, by my own actions, sometimes it almost seems like I have a heart like Jonah. Sometimes I've been slow to show that love and mercy to those who have wronged me. Sometimes I've been slow to reach out with love. And sometimes I have been quick with my own anger and my own judgment. And there are some times when I should have spoken God's blessing and told people about God's love, and I failed to do it. Yes, your own pastor is not too far from Jonah, to a certain extent. But I also realize that God is gracious, and I do want his gracious love to go from me to other people. I want God's blessings to be given to all people. Fair enough, I wouldn't mind a few coming my way either. But I'll let God worry about that. The bottom line is, what kind of heart do you have? A heart that says, yes, I really do want all people to be saved. I want all people to come to the knowledge of God. I want all people to be with me in heaven above, including Sox fans. I can say that with true confidence. because actually I have some friends who are really good Sox fans, and there's nothing wrong with the Sox. I just happen to be a Cubs fan. That's all. So even in the midst of my rivalries, can I sit there and say, it's a friendly rivalry? I really do love you. I do want to shower God's grace upon you. I truly do want to forgive. Be patient with me, and I will be patient with you. I need to be patient first before, but that's another story. Can our hearts get to that point? If so, then I think we have broken the idea that Jonah is communicating here, a selfish belief. And the only way we can ever get to that point is not by our own doing. It is by God's grace. Truly understanding what it meant for the Son of God to take on human flesh and to die, to truly need that forgiveness, gives us an idea of what our neighbors need. So we come here today seeking first God's forgiveness for us because we really need it. And then we ask God to help us to forgive our neighbor, all our neighbors, and to show them the same love that God showed us. Yes, God is great in mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in love. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.